I believe that you believe that Jesus is alive. Amen. You know why I believe it? Because you're acting like it. Amen? That's what's supposed to happen. When you believe something, you're supposed to act like it. You know, if you watched the Buckeyes yesterday play, those who believed that the Buckeyes were going to win had to act like it. I ain't going to lie. At the end, I started rooting for the underdog. I'm like, listen, you show up and you're the big dog in the fight and the underdog's whooping your butt. But they did it. I started watching the West Virginia game later and that broke my heart. I wanted to see him win, but it was a good fight. Oh, praise God. You know, when we believe something, we act like it. We believe Jesus is alive, we're supposed to act like it. We believe God is love, we're supposed to love. We're supposed to act like it. That's what it's all about. It's not about building buildings. It's not about sending out ships or boxes or anything. Those are all actions caused by love. So when we act like God is love, the world is drawn to us. Did you know that? People think, well, we got to do all this stuff to get people's attention. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Who lifts him up? We do. And when we lift him up, where do the men come? To us. That's how it happens. It doesn't happen because we scream the loudest. We got the greatest programs. Programs come and go. Programs aren't working anymore either. And besides that, there's coming a separation of sheep and goats down the road, and I don't personally want to be caught up in the goat. You get caught up with the goats, you're in trouble. Amen? All right. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? I want to preach. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for a glorious, glorious day. Lord, it is glorious because you have risen. It is glorious because we are alive and we are free. And now, Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord God, I present it to you as holy, as separate. Father, this represents our livelihoods, our very lives. Father, we present it to you today to be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed this morning. Would you guys go ahead and turn up the sanctuary lights out there for me? Kind of hard to see people. There we go. Getting better. All right. I knew their faces out there. I could hear you. Y'all know those tiny little soda cans? Little Coke and Pepsi cans? Do you know where those are made? Nope, Minnesota. I need my drummer up here. Oh, praise God. Well, God is alive and God is good. Amen? Amen. And you know why we have this joy in us? It's because of hope. Because we have a hope of glory. We have a hope that in the end, hear me out now, in the end, all of our sins are indeed washed away. That's the hope. That is the hope that sets us free. Because we're taking it on God's word that's what's happening. Last week we began talking about hope and how when hope is deferred, it makes you sick, your heart sick. And we know that is depression. Everybody deals with depression. There are some people that are more highly susceptible to it. And some of these people I've observed over the years, they thrive in it. They love to be depressed. And you think I'm kidding? Just watch. By the way, all you can do is get on Facebook. You don't need to advertise your garbage there. God does something good, share it. You get hit sideways? We have the church Facebook page, or not Facebook page, but the prayer page. And I actually had her do a whole new one because I said, I only want people who are here on that one. The reason that I want them here is because this is a family. This is a close group. You need prayer. You can feel free, because anybody that abuses it, I'll have them blocked out. I may not have originated the page, but I will tell you right now, I do control it. Because I don't want people abusing this. Well, you know, brother, this is a place, if you need prayer, you get prayer. You're not asking for counsel, and I'm not telling anybody to counsel. Do not seek counsel on Facebook or any other social media or anything else, because you get totally distorted. People don't know you. I watched a show the other day. Actually, I didn't realize I got anything from it. It was called The Neighborhood. It's a new show. It's got Cedric the Entertainer, and this white couple moves into his neighborhood. It's all black, and this white couple move in, and they are white as white bread, and they're now learning to try to how to function in this community that's all black. And Cedric is extremely hesitant on welcoming them in. And so finally this guy, he's missing all of his friends from back home. And, he walks by the barber shop, and all Cedric and all his boys and all, they're all hanging around there talking. And, this white guy goes in and, they welcoming in, and he knows how to bust their chops back. He knows how to take it, and he knows how to give it. You need to understand something about life. First off, you can't be intimidated by everybody. Sometimes you got to dish it. There was a guy, I'll get back to that story, but a guy that I knew started to deliver Meals on Wheels, and he was supposed to train me. His name is Harvey Smith. He's really a good guy, but he would bust people's chops, and they didn't know how to take him. And he started busting my chops day one, and I turned around and busted his back. And we had the best time, because he now had somebody that he could actually get along with. Other people, he's mean to me. That's just him. You know how to handle him. You bust his chops back, and he just loved me from that point on. And if we had to do anything together, they made sure he and I got put together. But this particular show, the white guy goes in there, and people start asking him about advice. See, that was Cedric's job. And he starts giving advice. Well, what do I do about my girlfriend? Well, tell her this. Stand up. Tell her how you feel. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, the guy goes home and tells her how they feel. Well, it shows up on social media. All of his stuff's going out in the yard, and she's burning it. Then some other advice goes awry. And finally, he addresses it, and he said, here's the problem. You don't know these people like I do. I grew up here. I've lived with these people for 40 years. I know them. I could have told you, his girlfriend is crazy. Don't tell her that. And so the guy turned around and realized that he didn't know anything. He didn't know these people. So you can't just go getting advice from everybody. You've got to talk to somebody who's actually a part of your life, and who maybe is a little bit sturdier than you are at that point. Because if you ask somebody who's weaker than you, they're going to pull you down, aren't they? You need somebody who's stronger, so you don't go blabbing everything on Facebook. Because what's going to happen? You're going to have people whose lives are 10 times worse than yours giving you advice, and it's crap. That's exactly what it is. So when people start getting their lives wrapped up in all the stuff going on, they start losing hope. When you lose hope, depression sets in. It has nothing to do with, I realize sunshine does make your day go a lot better, but I'm going to tell you, better, but I'm telling you, the sun's shining or not, the sun is shining. You just can't see it. You need to change your mind that this is the day of the Lord. That's why I pray it's a glorious day. It's not icing. Hallelujah, praise the Lord for that. We don't have ice. It's warmer. Find something to give God glory for, to thank Him. And when you start making thankfulness a part of your day, you'll start finding out you don't have to deal with that depression as much. I ain't gonna say it goes away. Anybody that says, I never have to deal with anything again, is a liar. Step back, because the pendulum's gonna swing on them. Just because it hasn't hit you for a while, brother, doesn't mean that you are totally free from ever having to address it again. Because the Bible tells us that when a spirit leaves, it comes back seven times stronger. In other words, he's got buddies. He's going to try to bring you down. And then just because he got sent away once doesn't mean he's not going to come back. So you will deal with it. You just need to make sure that you're getting seven times stronger, that you're getting seven times smarter. The people of God, they prefer to be like sheep. Do you know why the Bible equates us to sheep? Because they're dumb. They really are. They'll follow wherever. They'll follow whoever's leading to food or to water. That is it. So we need to make sure that we're not living our lives based on something that's not got any founding. Hope. Hope of a future. Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the thoughts I have for you, to give you a future and a hope, an expected outcome. God has an expected outcome for every human being's life on this planet. Every last one of us. He has an expected outcome. By the way, it is also God's will that every person be saved. Doesn't mean that they're all going to be, but God has that established, that this is what I want. It's His will. Now, some people, well, God's will is always done. No, it's not. It's not God's will that any should perish. But we know that there are those who have. Well, when Jesus came, He died for all sin. Yes, He did. But you still have to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and confess with your mouth that He is the Lord. And many people, they don't even go, well, I believe that there is a God. Well, that's okay. So are the demons in hell. That's scripture, by the way. The demons in hell believe. So you do good to believe. But you need to go above and beyond what the demons believe. So when we are so wrapped up in just what people have said, how many of you realize finally at this point in your life, I'm looking around, everybody in here except Carter is of an age to where you realize people fail. Whether they were flat out liars or they could realize too late they couldn't control every circumstance. You know, when your babies are little like that, I'll never let anything happen to them. Then something happens and you realize I can't control everything. Doesn't mean you don't want to just rip somebody's head off and send a bloody stump down the road. It means you can't stop everything. So what you need to do is start making sure that while they're young, while they're little, that you are putting the Word of God into them. You are building up a godly character, a young man or a woman who can stand against the attacks of the enemy. And if we do not do that, then you have every right to fear. You'll be like Job. You'll be making sacrifices every day in fear of your children. But if you raise your children right, the Bible tells us if we raise our children in the way they should go, they will not depart from it. Well, Pastor, my children have done this, this, and this, and this. Well, did you do this, 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 and this? Well, yeah. Well, you exemplified that part of your life more than you did God. You need to make sure that your children are hearing the part where you say, this was foolishness. I was an idiot. Nobody wants to call themselves an idiot, but you were. Any life without God, you were being an idiot. You were being stupid. You know what my definition of stupid is? Doing something that's wrong, even though you know better, and it's not going to be good. That's stupid. Doesn't matter what. Oh, I'm going to grab that light bulb. When we are living a good life and we teach our children, stuff's going to happen.
I cannot lie. The hardest thing for me to do was to let go. I had to turn my children over to coaches. I did not want to do that. I wanted to make sure that coach was not yelling at them. But there was a side of me that said they have to go. They have to get yelled at by a coach. They have to do. One of the things, I told Joe this. He's back here laughing because he was Jesse's coach. I said, you know, there was one time they scored against Highland. And if I understand right, they were the only team to score against Highland that year. And Jesse was the one that did it. But Jesse wasn't carrying the ball at that point, and then they brought him out, and boom, we scored. Boy, our side just came unglued. But I asked Jesse, what did Joe say to you guys in there? He says, I don't know. He said, he just made me mad. I told Joe, and Joe's like, man, I wish I could remember what I'd say, because I'd tell him all that every time. Exactly. If Joe had not yelled at him, Jesse would have never found the fortitude to do what he needed to do. And when he did it, oh my goodness, the other team realized something happened. It was day and night difference. That is one reason why the military they're not flowery. If you go to join the military and you're expecting flowers and peaceable talk and genteel talk that just strokes your ear, you're wrong. Because one, that does not work. You're talking about men and women who are about to face giving up their life, the breath that is in them. And I'm going to tell you right now, singing Koinonia, is that the right one? Kumbaya. Yeah, the group was Koinonia. But singing Kumbaya before battle is not going to get it done. It ain't going to get done. I'm sorry. I live my life as if every day's a battle. I've told you before, I'm not one of these that just wakes up in the morning and I got shout to the Lord going on. I wake up and I've got stuff that makes God is alive seem mild. Because for me, that's what moves me. Because I've understand, every day it could be a battle for somebody's life. And if I'm just, oh, kumbaya, Lord, kumbaya, then I'm just going to roll over and say, well, whatever to be is to be. This isn't Doris Day philosophy, folks. The Bible puts it as a fight all the time. You get up, you get ready to whoop somebody. Particularly the devil, not the person. We got to remember that. It's not the person. It's the devil behind the person. Doesn't mean they're possessed. It just means that the devil is influencing them. Whatever may be in their life right at that moment. So when we are living our hope based on something that has no founding, like I told you, promises. Promises from people. Listen, you need to understand right now, politicians, they don't always intentionally lie. Some of them do, not all of them do. I'm going to go in, I'm going to change this. How many of you seriously think after 200 years, President Trump is going to be able to totally turn our government around in 4 to 8 years? It's going to take some fighting. If you ain't figured that out yet, the fight that started the day he got elected hasn't stopped. So he's fighting that. He's trying to do all this, trying to run a country, trying to get the economy back up, trying to make sure our enemies know that we are not going to back down. And then he's still going to try to drain the swamp. It's going to take some time. By the way, it's going to take us hitting our knees, praying for him, praying for the government, praying for that. It's up to us to change the spiritual influence that's going on in Washington, D.C. We're the ones who can drain the swamp. He can just be the instrument that God's using. But ultimately, it's up to us. When Daniel prayed and was waiting for a reply, the angel came back and said, I've been trying to come for 20 days, 21 days. But I had to fight against the powers of Persia, the prince of Persia that rules Persia, the spiritual oppression that was ruling of the time. Don't think for 1 minute our country is not covered by this. As long as men will reject God, there will always be demonic powers ruling. So we hold on to the hope that one day Jesus Christ is going to rule. Now, I'll tell you right now, Jesus Christ is not going to rule in the form of a preacher being in president. Not happening. I don't want it. I want Jesus Christ. Okay, I've shared with you why I don't want it. I don't want religion ruling. I want God. Religion had nothing to do with God. Have you realized that? Religion is nothing more than a natural thing. It's a source, a course of belief. Religion was on the planet before Adam sinned. But yet we were not held under the law of religion. But when Adam said, I don't want God, I want the law. That's what the Jews said, the Hebrew children. They said, we don't want to know God. We want his law. You bring the law to us. They rejected a relationship and interjected a religion. I saw a post today, this morning, that showed people beating a person with their Bibles. And it said, if your religion does this, that's not our religion. That's not our belief. Not supposed to be. But today, there are preachers everywhere bashing people with the Word of God instead of trying to figure out how to love them. Help them through. Yes, homosexuality is a real thing, but so is living together. So is hopping around from bed to bed. It's all in your Bible. It's there. Feel free to read it and quit pulling yourself out of it. But when we reject what God has said, we no longer really have hope. We have a fear of what's coming. Judgment will come to our houses. That's a promise. Jesus told us if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. There's no fear. I love watching police movie or shows. Particularly, there's one called Bull, where they get into the scientific and he starts trying to figure stuff out and all this. And to imagine being the defendant, and he's sitting there and he's waiting for the jury to come back. Guilty or not guilty. The tension that he or she must be under is just enormous. And yet, that's how many people are living their lives today through Jesus Christ. They're just waiting for judgment. If you start understanding what God's grace is and living in God's grace, We're going to be hitting that over the course of the couple weeks here about God's grace. God's grace is not permission to go and sin. Hopefully I'm going to hit some of that today. I'm hoping to hit it. None of this that I've talked about just now has been a part of my message that was planned. So when we are living our life for the hope of the glory of Jesus Christ, we are living, one, joyful. We act like it. We can sing out. We can shout. We can praise the Lord. Most people, the reason I've had people, well, I like the old hymns. Listen, I liked them too. And there are hymns that I still love to hear. But there are hymns that were a waste of time to write. Because they reject the redeeming power of God and throw it back on feeling bad. Amazing Grace is a powerful song. But if we don't live our life as amazing as the grace is, then what's the point of the song? How many of you have ever watched the movie about that or know anything about the song? The guy that wrote it was a slave ship captain. He ended up spending his rest of his life serving in the church. And I believe he was blind at the end, if I remember correctly, at least according to the movie I saw. But he wrote the song, if I got the right things all right. I got movies starting to clash. But anyhow, he received in him God's amazing grace is the point. His amazing grace was so powerful that when he got it, he turned his life completely around. Even though your Bible does not say anything against slavery. It doesn't. Matter of fact, Paul said, if you're a slave, don't desire to seek to be free. Boy, that got the quiet. Does that mean that it's not wrong? Absolutely, I believe it's positively wrong. But it's nothing that God created. It was in the world waiting. Why? Because as soon as Adam sinned, we all became slaves. So once we become free, why do we want to go back? Why do I not want to change? We were discussing this morning. Why do we not want to change? If there is not a change, why? Part of it is we don't understand the hope that we have. We do not fully get that, first off, we have to forgive in order to be forgiven. By the way, living under grace is so much more difficult than living by a law. I'm promising you it is. If they came out and said, tomorrow there will no longer be a speed limit, you can drive as fast as you want, oh, I promise you people are going to do it. They're going to drive ridiculous. Never mind the fact that it's a school zone. There's a reason why we have speed limits in school zones. There's a reason why we have speed limits on the highways. Because not everybody is a very good driver. There's some people that can't drive at slow speeds, let alone high speeds. And so they think, well, I can drive 100 miles an hour. And they don't have the skills. And they may have had the skills at one point in life, but I will attest to the fact that as you get a little older, things slow down. I no longer like to drive at night as much, especially dusk, because my eyes don't adjust as quick. I make her drive. She's doing good. But my eyes over the last couple of years, I can't see. But once I can get to the dark, I'm good. But if I were to think, well, I can just drive however I want, I'm just good. I'm a good driver. Even though there have been a few, I think Pat, one of the times I was riding with him, he said, I went to Vietnam and I've never been so scared to death in my life. There he is. But I will tell you this, we were at a traffic light that was not turning and I got tired of waiting and I threw the truck in reverse, loaded up, and I backed it up a quarter of a mile at 40 miles an hour. But yet, Pat will not hesitate to go anywhere with me. He's loaned me every vehicle he's ever had. He's getting over. But the point being, I no longer feel safe doing that. I never got into anything I couldn't drive. Never had lessons in some things. And just jumped up in them and figured it out. Now, an 18-wheeler, I've never driven. But I parallel parked a bus on the very first try. A school bus. Knock yourself out on doing that. But my confidence in some of that stuff has waned. Now let's get back to God's Word. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Where do these three abide? Right here. They abide within us. If they are not abiding in, all three of them are not abiding in you. They do not abide in your household. They have to abide in you. Faith, hope, and love. First off, we receive the love of God. Love is supposed to grow. So is your faith. The hope is supposed to be something solid. But let me tell you a little something. What comes first, faith or hope? I'm going to tell you that what I see according to Hebrews 11:1, bring that up. Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what comes first? Hope. Where do you get hope? Well, the Bible tells us that we get faith by hearing. So what are we hearing? We are hearing words of hope. Hope is what we're hearing, and we receive it within us, and we start to build our faith on that hope, that God's grace will erase my sins, that God's mercy is for me. And the more that we build the hope, the more that our faith is strengthened. Okay? I'm not going to go up here and bash you. Oh, ye of little faith. Today's message is not about that. And by the way, I want to point out that Jesus just dealt with the people that he knew. He wasn't out saying, well, this happened because you have no faith. It ain't none of your business. You don't know me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've already done. You don't know what I've conquered. That's why I won't tell you something happened because you lacked faith. I don't really know all that you've battled. But I will tell you right now, you can always be stronger. Right? We can always be stronger. Phil and I were talking about this morning about football players. No matter how big and bad you think you are, there's always somebody bigger and badder. They are huge. These linemen are running the 40-yard dash in the fours. That's what sprinters do. Littler guys. That used to be fast for a wide receiver or a running back. These are linemen. They ain't supposed to really run. They're just supposed to be a wall. And these linemen can do this. No matter how big and bad you think you are, there's somebody bigger and badder. So what do you need to do? You need to keep pursuing all these things. You need to keep moving. You need to keep going. You don't just stop. Say, well, I have attained all things. You ain't attained crap. That's all there is to it. You don't understand anything. So now, he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. When I hope that when I stand before God and Jesus says, my blood has covered him, I need to live my faith today like I believe it. Faith is a solid assurance, is what it is. When we have that solid assurance, then our hope is not in vain. But if I'm living my life contrary to what I know I should be, and as I've told you before, living in grace is harder than living in the law. I will obey the speed limit because it's there. Right? But if there's no speed limit, why would I not drive 100 miles an hour? I'll get somewhere faster. Eventually, I'll get to the grave faster. Because when it's icy, I'm not going to slow down. When it's raining, I'm not going to slow down. Right? That's what happens. That's why there are so many accidents as soon as we have a good rain and it starts getting cold. I drive like this all the time. It doesn't make any difference. Want to bet? Cars are cars. They do not like black ice. But love. See, now love, all three of these tie together. You can't have one without the other. I'm telling you, folks. They will go hand in hand. Love fuels our faith. Faith operates by our love. How do we keep moving our love? We keep encouraging and moving our love, one, according to Hebrews 10:24, by assembling together. The writer of Hebrews said, now stir up in one another good works and love. By the way, if you love, you're going to have good works. Don't say you love and don't have works. Isn't that what James said? He said, you say you have faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. Why? Because my works are fueled by my faith, which is fueled by my love. That's why we get together. That's why we do these things. We send these boxes out. I love the fact. Well, 396. Do you realize? I've seen the numbers of other churches. And I have to make sure I'm not getting prideful. But I'm going to boast on you. The biggest churches in the county haven't even come close. Not even an inkling. The biggest churches. It's not a competition. But people, well, I'm only going to do this. We can only do that. Well, praise God. You do what you can do. This is something God has moved on us. And when God has moved on us, we act like it. Sorry about that. It got a little loud in my ear. We act like it's something we feel God told us to do. If I don't feel God told us to do something, trust me, that's why I don't do it. I don't think God ever told us to start a food pantry. Why? Because I know Brother Eddie down the road's got a good one going. I'll send Brother Eddie some money to help him go buy food. He's got the infrastructure. He's got the buildings. I don't think we need a clothes closet. Why? Because we give money to get new clothes for the children's ministry right down the road, right around the corner from my house. We help these people out. It's something we do. Good works are stirred up in us because of our love for other people. And now when we start losing hope about what our future holds, is because we've gotten self-centered. We've gotten self-focused and said, well, this is all God can ever use me as. Then we have no idea that God is always changing us from one degree of glory to another. We got to quit living our life. I watched Last Man Standing, the new ones, since they brought them back. And I'm going to tell you right now, I just love how God still gets things out there. And Mike Baxter told his daughter, Mandy, he said, when God closes a door, he always builds a window. By the way, windows are not for going through. Let's just comprehend that right now. I said that to somebody and said, I'm not a thief. I'm not going to go through a window. How dumb can you be and still breathe oxygen? To tell me that right off the bat tells me that your heart is a thief. That at the root of your heart is a thief who steals. It has nothing to do with going through it. It's for observing. You look through a window. By the way, I never said that the window opened. Not every window opens. And if God just lets you see and God shut the door, are you that dumb to try to crawl through a window? I mean, seriously, you want to crawl through one of windows at my house? Do you know what the strong man in the house is going to do? All you're going to hear is, ch-ch. You don't go through windows. You look and you see why God shut the door for you. Because it wasn't his will. Well, I don't know why God shut the door on that relationship. Hello? You were probably too close to the situation and couldn't see the damage. You couldn't see the poison that was being injected into you because you were willingly receiving it. If somebody is fueling something that is hurting you, stop seeing them. I just want to come and talk to you. I want to pick your mind, brain about this. And listen, if they start solidifying the pain, solidifying your hurt, they're poison to you. The hurt is there. The first thing you have to do, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is what people don't like to hear. You got to forgive. You have to forgive it. Is it easy? Heavens no. If it'd be easy, everybody would do it. Then Christian, being a Christian wouldn't be anything special. You have to forgive it. Well, the Bible tells me I need to go to my brother and tell him. Well, you need to judge in yourself whether you know that brother will receive. I've done that with a brother, sister one time. Talk about backfiring. I was asking for forgiveness for something I felt I had done. I wasn't blaming them on anything. And boy, that woohoo! I said, no, that won't, nope. Nope. I could not believe that it had done that. That showed me right then and there, one, never have any more dealings with that family. Love them right here. Do not let them in that close because they totally turned that around. I was asking for their forgiveness. Amazing. And what I had done really wasn't anything bad. It was just I had actually sinned against God, not against them. But I felt I needed to, because they were part of it. So now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abide faith, hope, and love. Can hope be removed from you? Oh, absolutely. You could have your hope stolen right out of you. Can your faith be shaken? Oh, yeah. You can even lose it. You can lose your faith in humanity. You can lose your hope. Can your love be stolen? Oh, absolutely. It can all be taken from you. In Revelations, we read about a church called Laodicea. And Jesus encouraged them to go find their first love because it had grown cold. What happened? One, they quit assembling. They got wealthy, started going on more vacations. Vacations are good. You have to take a vacation. Just space it out. Not all in the same 6 months. Why? And I don't really care if you're not here. Do you hear me? I'm preaching the same message today to you as if this room was packed. And I'm telling you this because it has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with numbers. God dealt with me a long time ago. Preach to one as if it was 1,000. So I'm preaching you the same message. Reason I tell you to space it out is for your sake. If you're gone for 6 months on vacation, where are you stirring up your love? How is your love being stirred? Because the Bible tells us that our love is stirred together. We want to do good works because we're a part of something. We want to do good works because we're being encouraged to do good works. But if you are sitting at home or going fishing or boating or camping or whatever every week, where are you getting encouraged? Well, I listen to Brother Copeland on TV. Call Brother Copeland when your family goes sideways. You're not going to get Brother Copeland. You're going to get somebody who's been trained to pray with you. That is as far as it's going. But I got my encouragement from Brother Copeland. He's an evangelist. He is not, God has not equipped him to be a pastor to you. God gave you a pastor. There's a reason there are different ministries. There's a different calling. So many people have twisted what Paul told Timothy when he said, do the work of an evangelist. He told Timothy that, not every pastor. But now today, every pastor that I know of thinks they got to be traveling the world preaching the message. Hello, what about your people? Well, I left them to these. God didn't call them. He called you. Do you want to know why your church is dying? Do you want to know why? When I say dying, I mean people are literally spiritually dying. They're going through battles and their pastor's not there. Well, I left so-and-so in charge. That's not a good shepherd. A good shepherd is there. A good shepherd will go out and get the one out of their fold. But the Bible doesn't say that a good shepherd is out preaching in China. That's what evangelists are for. That's what apostles are for. It's fivefold ministry. It means God has five things. By the way, here's my opinion on that. All those other four, here's the pastor, prophet, teacher, apostle, evangelist, yeah. Okay, the last four should be like this. They got to have a pastor. They got to have somebody praying for them, somebody that loves them like that. So in my opinion, I heard an evangelist do this. Say, you need more than being a pastor. You need to be more than just a pastor. Hello, what could be more than just a pastor? Jesus was the shepherd. He said, Father, you ever pay attention to, he said, Father, I thank you that these are the ones you gave me and I still have them. Why? Because he knew what his calling was. My calling as a pastor, I've got that. Working through things, I'm getting there. But in the end, We all have a job. They have to be stirred up in love by coming together. And when we come together, that love is stirred up. When that love is stirred up, our hope remains alive. And if our hope remains alive, our faith gets stronger. The closer, the writer of Hebrews even put it this way, and even more so as that day approaches. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I can tell you right now, I believe it's very soon. And the more we get to that, the closer we get to that, the more we need to be getting together. The more, and I mean faithfully, I'm not saying we got to interject a bunch of services. That's what ends up happening. All we do is wear ourselves out. We get two people to come to service on weird nights through the week. And everybody else has to be there because they have to serve. I buck the system on things that I don't see that really are functional. Let's do what works. I haven't lost one person due to the fact that we don't have Wednesday night services. Oh, we've had people go. God was moving them. But they didn't leave because, well, they don't have Wednesday night services no more. Tough. Listen to Brother Copeland. There you have it. Just make sure your seat is here, not on your lazy boy on Sunday morning watching Brother Copeland. In my opinion, and I realize that they say, well, you know, there's those that can't get to church. That's fine. I understand people have to work. Sometimes people are sick. I get that. But I think if these people really understood what's happening, they would say, we will not be on the air between the hours of 9 a.m. and noon on Sunday morning. Watch the churches start to fill up. Well, how are we getting to people? Well, we lift up Jesus Christ, but let's quit being lazy Christians. We have just gotten lazy. Well, I can get good word from Brother Creflo. Well, that's fine and dandy. You just make sure, again, that when the devil hits your household with a D10 dozer, that it's Brother Copeland or Brother Dollar that you're calling instead of Pastor Waddell, who hasn't seen you in 6 months. Well, you just don't love me. I told you right now, I told you from day one, I'm not holding your hand. It's time for the church to grow up. I'm not going to call you just because you didn't come to church. Because I know the truth. I've been there. I don't want to. You can come up with whatever excuse you want. Raise your shirt and play with your belly button. We all got one. They're all useless now. We don't come to church because we don't want to. We've either taken offense at something somebody said or somebody did. A lot of times it comes back thrown on me. They go, oh, I'm pastor. How about we start telling the truth of the whole situation instead of just your side there? You get the truth of both sides, you'll find out somebody didn't tell the truth. But we lose faith in things like that. I left because I had gotten my faith looking at men and women of God. But God also had a plan for me to get me out of that, to get me to grow up, to change me, to make me who I am today. And it took getting me out. So he allowed me to get a little butt hurt and leave Morrow County. Where there's still good men. Like I said, I told you before, I did not stop loving God. And God did not stop loving me. But what God did allow me to go through, to go and do, I made the choice myself. Nobody made me. I did it myself. You know what I learned from it? I can have empathy on people. I've been there. By being there, I'm not a religious bigot standing up here taking my Bible and browbeating you. I'm here telling you God loves you. God cares so much for you that he wants to hold you close, no matter how bad you stink of sin. Oh, but God can't look upon sin. Well, that's what the blood of Christ is for. See, I wasn't raised in back pre-90s. There wasn't a whole lot of grace and mercy taught. Even the churches that supposedly believed in grace and mercy didn't practice it. If you don't wear a tie on Sunday morning, you ain't serving. I thought of that this morning as I put on my shirt without a tie. But ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, if we will hold on to love and remember in these situations, like I said, we're not by any means done. I'm going to keep preaching this. I may say things next week that sound very similar to this week, but somebody different is going to be here. Somebody who needed it, or maybe you didn't get it all today, and the next week you're going to get it. But if we want to remain faithful, we want to remain strong. First off, this is how we do it. We come together. We stir each other up in love. I tell you right now, I love watching what's happening with the Operation Christmas Child. We got people just showing up. We didn't put out a volunteer sheet this year. People just showed up. They're helping. We've had a couple times where there's 100, 200 boxes in a vehicle. Man, it's like whoop, whoop. Everybody went out. Everybody came back in carrying boxes. That's stirring up love. You know why? Because this is something God has called us to, and we love doing it. And when we stir ourselves up in this, folks, we are getting what God has intended for us. The joy. There's not been one person complain about it. Yeah, there's some downtime. I'm kidding you not, man. They don't know how to pace themselves. They get a stack of boxes in there. Next thing I know, Brenda had to yell at Pat the other day. We had a bunch of boxes come in. Lunch is right there ready. Brenda's like, sit down. We need something to do too. He was over there getting them all sorted, and that's just how they go. The boxes come in. It's boom. And it happens. It's getting done. It's phenomenal. But he was so excited to do it. They're all excited to do it. And that's what I love to see. There's a hope on those boxes. We even had a visitor from OCC the other day. He was driving through four states visiting the pickup or the collection centers. And it was good to hear from somebody in that point. Somebody God sent to help encourage what we're doing. Again, just because we got 396 boxes ourselves, doesn't mean that we're really that much more special. This is just something God has called us to do. He opened the doors for us to become the collection center. We used to take them down to the Christian school. They had teachers and students that had to come out of class to collect them, and then they'd do all that. And I'm for certain I know how all the details happened, but next thing I know, Vicky's like, we can be the collection center. Let's do it. Aren't you going to pray about it? Why pray about something I know God has called us to do? When he opens the door, you go through it. The door opens. Oh, wow. Lord, I need to fast and pray for 6 months before I go through it. Well, the door is going to close. They don't have that time. That's what being instant in season and out of season means. Everybody, it means to be able to preach at any time. It means to be able to do the will of God at any time without it needing to be pushed. Your fasting and praying is just a fleece to God, in my opinion. If you're staying, if you're in constant talking with God about what his will is for your life, what you're to do, you will find out, hey, God, my joy has returned. And you go through, but I better fast and pray for a week. You do realize the opportunity's here. It's not going to be here in a week. They need somebody to do this now. You do it. You get it done. Okay, so next week, we're going to keep moving on talking about this. But because, listen, we're in the season that we call the season of hope. And most of the church, most of the people, we're going to forget it. They're going to forget what it's about. That it's about bringing hope to mankind. Joy to the earth. Joy to the world. Peace on earth. Isn't that what it was about? And the peace wasn't just, you need to understand, Jesus wasn't coming to make people stop fighting. He was coming to bring peace to the inner turmoils that we have. When we bring peace to the inner turmoils, we tend to find that we no longer want to fight each other. when we realize, you know what? God loves that homosexual just as much as he loves me. God loves that Muslim just as much as he loves me. God loves that drunkard just as much as he loves me. When we start realizing our place and where God loves us, and that he would die for that one person, that we're sitting here saying, you're a sinner. Listen, there's a lot of people sinning in the church today. They need to knock it off. Paul put it this way, even the appearance of evil. I know. People are getting ready. They're shining up their stones. All right, Pastor, we know. You listen to rock and roll music, you're going to hell. Well, I tell you what, that's one song I don't like. Because I'm not on a highway to hell. But if I have to get on it, it ain't to go. It's to pull people off of it. Thank you very much. So before we throw our stones of judgment at people, how about we live their life? Understand why. Not everybody can do that. I understand, you know what? I understand why there are people that will not listen to rock and roll music. And I mean just regular rock and roll. I get it. The lives they were leading at that time, they don't want to remember them. I don't blame you. But when that music was written and done, I wasn't living that life. There's so many of you, and I know my wife, I don't know if she's never really voiced it, but there's a group called Petra. Many of you know who Petra is. Man, that was one of the first Christian rock concerts I ever went to. Loved it. But you know what? I can't hardly listen to Petra now. Because that's all I was allowed to listen to growing up. And it's not because it's not a good message. It's because it brings back those memories of religious oppression. You can't have friends if they don't come to church. God forbid any new girl ever came to church. Hey, did you see her? What is this? Alibaba's den of thieves and prostitution? Every new girl that came to church, hey, did you see her? Yeah, I saw she's got a kid too. Not that that would have mattered, but it was the fact that people started doing that. Well, you know, we don't need to be unequally yoked. Oh, I get that point. I really do. But guess what? God had to send me away to give me a wife. So, and God protected her. He protected me. And the rest is history. All right, let's stand. The babies are letting me know it's time to shut up. I get it. They're a good thing. You know, I get what Abraham saw when, you know, Abraham dealt with a little bit of depression. Y'all know that? He was depressed. Isaac wasn't married. Sarah had just died. He'd gone into depression. And then something changed everything. Rebecca came along. Then grandsons. And his joy started climbing. Because now it meant that God's promises were going to come to pass. His hope was no longer deferred. He was trucking on so much so, ladies and gentlemen, he got remarried and produced more kids. Also known as the Midianites, to which his future great-great-grandson would marry one. And she wasn't white like them. She was black. But she was of Abraham's lineage. A lot of people forget that. Well, Moses married a black woman and, you know, well, that was all well. The truth of the matter is she was still a descendant of Abraham, so it didn't matter. Red, yellow, black, or white. Let's get through this. Let's get this through our heads. I mean, crying out loud, there was a time in life where you, if you weren't Irish, you couldn't marry somebody that wasn't Irish, and if you were this, you didn't marry anybody else that wasn't this. And come on, we wonder why. Yeah, thank you. Wonder why there's a lot of freaky stuff in our family lines. And I've said this before, but you, some of the people with the most beautiful skin are mixed. Some of the most beautiful people, as far as if we're just going to judge by the outward. I mean, I personally would have liked for my family somewhere along the line to have found somebody who wasn't a pygmy. I'm just saying. I would have liked to have gone beyond 5'7". Just saying. We needed a little bit of height in that department. And then to beat all that, I found out my family shrinks. Oh, I'm not. I don't receive that part. I'm drinking lots of milk. Lots of milk. I'm still a growing boy. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we truly do thank you for this day. Lord, for this is the day you created. Lord, this day means that we're another day closer to you coming back. Father, not that we want to hurry that along, for you have a will and you have a plan. There are things that will come to pass. But Father, we pray that you help us to grow in your love, grow in love towards other people, to help us to understand your love towards us, Father, that we will not be critical and judgmental of others and forget to give them the same grace and mercy that we've been given. Father, and if there's those who are struggling with receiving that grace and mercy, I pray that you help them in that right now, Father. Lord, open their eyes to love themselves first, and then that way they can start loving others as well. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I bless the volunteers who have been able to be here this week. Father, as this day wraps up and tomorrow we deliver the boxes, Father, I pray that your presence be with us. Lord, and I thank you that you're blessing each and every person here today, that as they go about their week, Lord God, that you create opportunities, Father, for them just to even do one little tiny thing for somebody else. In Jesus' name, amen.